At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
With me in the studio is Courtney Jones, OBE. He's written a book called Around the Ice in 80 Years, an irreverent memoir by an accidental champion. In it, he tells the amazing story of his rise to fame as a world champion skater, his life as a fashion designer and creator of Jane Torval and Christopher Dean's iconic bolero costumes, and his long distinguished career as a globe-trotting judge, referee, and senior official of British and international ice skating governing bodies. Welcome to the show, Courtney.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Lovely to be here.
Oh, it's lovely to have you with us in the studio. Thanks so much for coming in. So what's your connection to Spain?
Well, it was only about, over 20 years ago now that it seemed time to make a change. Mm-hmm. And my skating activities as a judge or referee can come from any country. So it seemed a good time to make a change. Just purely by chance, this happened, and been here on and off now for over 20 years.
Oh, fantastic. So with all the different things that I mentioned in the introduction, they're revolving around skating. Was the first thing that happened for you is that you were a skater yourself?
Yes, but I was, because I started when I was four. My father was an afternoon skater, somebody who went to the Bournemouth Ice Rink, Westover Ice Rink. And my mother and myself used to go on a Sunday afternoon. In those days, they had a tea place all down the side of the rink, and we'd sit there and watch my father skate. He was just a normal skater. He enjoyed it. And then suddenly one day I said to him, I'd like to skate as well. And so he said, well, I don't know. Went to the skate shop. They didn't have skates for a four-year-old child, but they made me a pair of boots and little sledges so I could start. So I skated on the sledges first with my teddy bear, who was absolutely necessary. And then I graduated. It was the end of the wartime. I graduated with second-hand pair of boots and skates, and I liked it, and I just skated for fun. I am an accidental champion, because it was never my intention, certainly not of my parents, that I would ever compete in competitions or championships. And somehow or other, I've had such a lucky, wonderful life, wonderful. Everything has happened by chance. So it was a chance that I started, and a chance I had a little pair of boots and skates, and chance now I'm here talking to you.
Well, it's not chance that you become European and world champion, though. That's that skill.
Well, yes, but then I did have a partner, you see. I couldn't skate on my own. I had to be held up. So
they were lifting you, were they?
Yes, yes. They were encouraging me. No, I had two wonderful partners whom I call my leading ladies.
Oh,
I had two leading ladies, June Markham and Doreen Denny. So they were, we were great pals, because they were, at that time, like me, an amateur, so they enjoyed their skating. It was getting away from work and everything else. So we did it for fun, simply, and that's why I say it happened to do it well enough in fun to actually graduate to doing it properly.
So do you choose a skating partner, or are you put together?
Oh, dear. I don't know. I think it's probably by chance, but in those days, it was much more social skating than it is today. So therefore, you met a lot more of your girls and boys all skating together in the evening. And from that emanated competition partners, and sometimes it ended in marriage. It was a social thing, not like these days where people went out and hunted for somebody.
Yes.
It just happened.
Yeah.
So I think that is the difference, that people don't meet by occasion. It's planned, you know. And I think people even advertise for skating partners now. So that's how it happened. Mine were purely accidental.
Yeah. So had you been in a lot of competitions before you went into the both the European Championships and the World Championships? Was it a natural progression?
No, I'd only done one championship.
Really?
One competition before, too. Yeah, one competition. Because my coach, Gladys Hawke, who was an eminent coach, June Markham and myself were due to take the highest medal, gold medal, together in about a week or so's time. And she said to me, you know, you've never even skated in public. I've entered you for a competition at Richmond Ice Rink, and it'll give you some idea of what skating in front of an audience is and being with other skaters. I didn't meet many other skaters, so Julie went along to Richmond, and as we went in, June, who had a wonderful person, I said, we're going to win. And I said, oh, don't be so stupid. I said, we've never even met the other competitors. These are all seasoned competitors. We're just doing this for fun and to get a little bit of experience. But suddenly we won. I think I was the most surprised person in the whole ring.
That's amazing.
It progressed from there. And because of that, our coach said, well, I'm going to put you in the British Championship. Just the last time I skated with another partner, I came last. But anyway, that was a long time ago. And when I went to the British Championships once again, June said to me, we're going to win. I said, no, we're not going to win. We're not even going to be on the podium. But we did end up on the podium in the second place. Once again, suddenly, just about 10 days before I was doing my national service, I was catapulted into the British team. That created huge difficulties because the Royal Air Force didn't recognise skating as a sport. So I was doing my training, and they let me go the day before the actual event started, and I had to come out of uniform and put on civvy clothes and take my boots and skates down to London, and my mother came and met me with all the necessary things to go abroad, and I'd never been on a plane before. I'd certainly never been abroad on skating at all. So everything happened accidentally but nicely in my life.
Yeah.
So that's really why I wrote down the memories, because it was lockdown. I was bored, and I started to sort of once I started, I couldn't stop.
Yes.
That was it.
So how did you get into design, fashion design?
And that was going to be my trade. My father was a painter. My mother loved music. So I had a sort of background like that, and I'd always wanted to design. So I got a bursary to go to the Bournemouth College of Art, and so I was training there to be fashion designer with all the things that went with it. So that's how I came into it. And once again, my lecturer, who was a lady, she sort of saw some kind of chance that I had some good things inside me, and she helped me move up into the ladder. So I spent the 4 years there training, and then I was released onto the fashion scene and fell flat on my face.
But how on earth did you get to make the costumes for Torval and Dean? I bet everybody listening is going, oh, I can see them now.
Isn't that nice?
It's
wonderful to remember like that. Well, when Chris and Jane started, they were friends of ours, you know, and so we were advising them, Bobby Thompson and myself, with their trainer, Betty Calloway. We sort of like a team that produced it. And Chris and Jane became up. We were going up and up and up, and they said, would I do some costumes for them, which I did. So I ended up designing actually every costume they ever wore.
Wow.
So that was quite nice. And of course, Bolero is still so famous. 37 years later.
No.
37 years later. Ravel's still around, and I'm still around.
Amazing. We're so thankful that you are to tell this incredible story. So where do you go from there? I mean, if you're making costumes like that, what happened next?
Well, I continued to design costumes for skaters as a sideline, as a hobby as such, because I enjoyed it. It was something to do. But I went into the fashion trade and learnt my trade from the bottom up. Mm-hmm. I was doing that. I was a lining cutter in a factory. So my 4 years of training trained me to know that you learnt absolutely nothing if you weren't in the trade itself.
Right.
So finally I got a job at the very lower echelons and worked my way up until I was a director of a company. So that was a different side to my story. Mm. So I've been so lucky to have and met another group of people, and I was in the ballroom world as well, so I met another lot of people. So in my lifetime, which is very long now, I have met wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people, really. I have been so lucky. Absolutely lucky.
And how about your time then working as a judge and a referee and all of that?
Well, that was, you learn that from the bottom up. You start at the bottom and you work your way up into international competitions and international events and championships. And finally, after a number of years, when I became a member of the International Ice Dance Committee, which decided the ice dancing all over the world, I was then elected onto the council, which runs the whole sport. So that was a wonderful time. And I'm still an honorary member of that, and I still attend championships and events in that capacity.
Mm.
So I've had, as I say, it's a wonderful way to end one's career, to be up in the Council of the International Skating
Union. Yeah. And what do you think of shows like Dancing on Ice, which, of course, has made ice skating a lot more, well, dare I say, mainstream? You know, a lot more people have taken up ice skating because of the programme.
Well, Chris and Jane do a wonderful job, and I know them so well. They put their heart and soul into it, like Robin Cousins and the other people I've known, John Curry, everybody. But Christopher and Jane have managed to bring it into the mainstream by making it modern and introducing a completely different face to our sport. It isn't a competitive face, it's a show face, which
yes.
is quite different again. And they've done that very successfully. And so, as I say, it's something that's brought figure skating, ice dancing into the fore again, so that must be an absolute plus for us all.
Mm. It always looks very dangerous when you see these the females being kind of swung round. I don't know what it's called, but when the male dancer's in the middle and holding his arms out, or maybe he's got one arm and one leg, I think, and the body of the woman's going round and round. And there's been a few incidences over the years where she's clipped her head on the ice, and you're like, oh my goodness,
I might tell you. Yes, it is a dangerous sport.
Yes.
It's a dangerous sport. You take it as it is. Yeah. You just take care. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no other way of doing it. If you're going to bring sport forward, you have to innovate. And innovation
yes.
means new moves. I mean, the standard of figure skating and ice dancing, pearl skating now, is unbelievably high.
Mm.
I mean, unbelievably high. It's light years when I paddle around the ice. I mean, it really light years from that now. So everything Christopher and Jane and Robin and all the other top skaters bring to the sport now helps to bring it up. And there's only one way, and
yes.
it's up.
Yes. So did you used to do the lifts and everything as well? Did you
yes.
have any dodgy situations, any accidents or anything?
Well, in ice dancing, you keep most of the time, in my day, because it was a long time ago, you kept your feet really on the ice and you do the occasional lift. But in those days, it was more ice dancing, literally moving over the ice to music. So I won't say acrobatics, but the lifts that they do now, which are absolutely fantastic, are something that has come in over the last decades.
Hmm.
So it's brought a new face to ice dancing, particularly because previously there was not so much lifting, but now it's incorporated into the free dancing in a different way, so it creates a completely new picture.
Yes.
It's not pair skating, it's ice dancing with lifts and moves, but pair skating is exactly what it says, pair skating with lots of lifts and lots of difficult spins. It's marked a different way anyway.
I was going to say, they've changed how they do the marking, haven't they?
Yes, yeah. Completely differently. It's all done by computers, and it's so totally different. Somebody like myself would not be able to go back and mark now because it is all computerized. Mm. Previously, it was quite different. But it arrived at the right result.
Yeah.
And this does, by modernising it, it arrives at the right result this way.
Mm. And have you enjoyed writing the book? Has it been nice reminiscing and collating
fantastic.
It all? And,
I've met so many of my old friends that I had forgotten about because, you know, I had to remember when the championship was, who won it and all that. And I've been in touch with people who I haven't met or spoken to for 50 years. So from my point of view, it's absolutely fantastic. I've enjoyed every minute of it. I really have. And I just hope other people might get bored by me, but I enjoyed it. So they're stuck with it.
Yes. Oh, well, if you enjoyed it, I'm sure we'll enjoy it. It's called Around the Ice in 80 Years, an irreverent memoir by an accidental champion. It's by Courtney Jones, who we've been chatting to. The book is on our website, so people can buy it through there, tre.radio. Courtney, thank you so much for coming in.
It's been a delight to talk to you because I'm a great fan of yours. Because I listen to you very, very often. Thank you for asking
me. It's a pleasure. It's lovely to meet you. And look, I've got the music all set up. Can you hear it starting?
What a surprise.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.